This is the Blaze Radio on demand.
Glenn Beck. The Blaze Radio Network.
Hey, it's Glenn, and I want to remind you, peace of mind is tough to come by these days unless you have a Liberty Safe. With a Liberty Safe, you won't worry when you leave the house because you'll know your valuables are protected. And right now, you can get free delivery to your home on any Liberty Safe. Go to LibertySafe.com for factory direct pricing. LibertySafe.com, made in the USA, lifetime warranty, and peace of mind. LibertySafe.com. If the election were held today, who would you vote for? Which is pretty ironic because today's the only time that question actually matters, because today is the day the election is being held. But if the candidates, listen to this, were Donald Trump or Barack Obama, if he were allowed to run, who would you vote for? Listen to this. Barack Obama would win 53-41. Hypothetically, if the general election were held today and the candidates were Hillary Clinton and Mitt Romney, who would you vote for? Hillary Clinton, 40. Mitt Romney, 50. That's how much they despise these two candidates. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. What do we do beyond the voting booth today? Frank Luntz has an unbelievable op-ed in today's New York Times that I think everyone should read. We go over it right now.
Of entertainment and enlightenment. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
The greatest country in the history of civilization has become dangerously uncivilized, writes Frank Luntz. We are living through the Thelma and Louise election, and it doesn't work out in the end. For months, both candidates have headed towards the electoral cliff of division and discord, fueled by an electorate seething with resentment and revenge. The focus groups I've conducted across America during this election are the loudest, angriest, and rudest I've ever seen in my career. There is no good precedent for our coarseness and vulgarity. America has survived and thrived despite a devastating civil war and global aggression. We've overcome economic difficulties far greater than those we're facing now. We've lost political leaders to assassination, yet somehow we have always risen and risen above the hatred. We've had tough, nasty elections, but nothing as embarrassing as this. The world used to look upon our democracy with respect and deference, but the 2016 presidential election has turned that into a mixture of amusement and disdain. Here's the problem. Once you inject hyper anger into civil society, it is almost impossible to undo. During three grueling debates, as millions of Americans looked on in disgust, both presidential candidates refused to seek even a modicum of common ground, choosing smears over solutions every time. In less than 24 hours, Americans will learn who will lead them for the next 4 years. But whoever is chosen, the winner will have the highest unfavorability rating of any newly elected president in the past 50 years. The cause and the result is hardly a mystery. A vast majority of Americans are fed up with the partisan conflict and political gamesmanship between the liar and the lunatic, as my 60-minute CBS focus group called them, the liar and the lunatic. If Hillary Clinton wins on Tuesday, from day one, she will spend her time fending off congressional investigations. If Donald Trump wins, he has said he will go after the very people who have accused him of impropriety. And should he lose, he has said that he will declare the election rigged and his followers have threatened unrest. The consequences? We, the people, will suffer. Let us hope that the leader we choose will have the courage and wisdom to heal the wounded nation and declare enough is enough. It's time to govern all of the people. For decades, that healing has begun on election night with a concession speech. The vanquished candidate, usually surrounded by family and friends, accepts defeat with remarkable grace and dignity and asks supporters to accept the will of the people. We've been around for 240 years. We've had free and fair elections. We've accepted the outcomes when we may not have liked them. But that is what must be expected of anyone. I know the language works because it came from Ms. Clinton in the third presidential debate, and it was her best debate moment, according to the focus group session for CBS News. The concession speech is a trademark of our democracy, and we're stronger for it. Let's hope we don't have to wait hours or even days to hear it. From the winner, what we need is less of a victory speech and more of a personal apology and clarion call for unity, empathy, and understanding. If we are to address the rampant cynicism and heal the wounds I've witnessed day after day on the campaign trail, here are the words Americans desperately need to hear tonight. My fellow Americans, I stand before you tonight humbled. There is no greater honor than to serve as President of the United States, and yet no greater responsibility. For many, this is a night of celebration, but I recognize and respect the millions who preferred a different path. So I ask one last sacrifice from my supporters who have worked so hard to make history happen. Instead of your cheers, I ask for your silence, that I might speak directly to my opponent and the people who are discouraged and disheartened with tonight's results. Imagine if one of them would do this tonight. Our political system has too often drowned you out. Our economic system has often left you behind. But no more. Tonight, I hear you. Tonight, I hear your frustration, your hopes, your dreams. They are just as important as those people in this room. Your concerns are just as real. I get it, and I will act upon it. Throughout this election, we've said things to each other that were harsh, negative, and inappropriate. Our divisive words often distract us from the challenges we need to solve, from failing schools to rapidly rising health care costs, from immigration to Social Security. The challenges we face as individuals, as communities, and as a country are immense and demands the best minds and best ideas from all across the political spectrum. In the months ahead, my administration will set the example. We're more than just Democrats. We're more than just Republicans. We are Americans. And so I ask my supporters to have empathy and understanding for those who are commiserating across town and across the country tonight. And let us all tonight pledge allegiance to one nation, indivisible. I've always promised to fight for you, but that doesn't mean we need to fight against them. Let's mark tonight by finding our common ground and moving forward together. Let's fix our country and not tear it apart. That is not going to happen. That is the message, though. That is the message. And which supporter would not want to hear that from their candidate? I think both would want to hear that from their candidate. And if they didn't, they should reevaluate their life. But I contend, except for the most diehard of the diehard lunatic fringe, the vast majority, 99.9% of all Trump supporters and 99.9% of all Clinton supporters would welcome that speech tonight.
I think the supporter of the candidate making the speech likes that speech a lot. The opposition, I think, doesn't believe it from the...
No, but you know what? I wrote a member of the press last night that didn't write something favorably of me, but gave me the benefit of the doubt and said, okay, so this is what he said. Who am I not to believe it? We should try. And so I wrote this person who I don't know and out of the blue. And I just said, I don't expect you to believe me. I don't ask for you to trust me. Watch my actions, not my words. The time for words is long past. But watch my actions in the future. And know that I'm going to fail. But it's not about me. It's about all of us trying to be better than we were yesterday. What did we learn in the last 8 years? What have we learned in the last 15 years? I know this. The the left learned under George W. Bush that screaming and shouting and calling him a traitor, calling him, saying that he hates black people, saying that he is just a horrible human being, the worst that could be, a war criminal, all of that stuff, didn't help. Didn't help. And because of that, quite honestly, I felt justified in a little payback and saying, well, you know what, if they can say it, we can say it, because I believed it to be true at the time. So I'm going to say these things too.
And then that's not necessarily a conscious thing, is it?
No. No. Yeah. But you
had that feeling.
We were there. That's the way the culture was going. I didn't want revenge, but I was going to say what I believed. And I was tired of the one side. And that didn't work. That was wrong. It didn't work. And even though we did make some progress on trying to figure out who we are, there's a lot of Americans, conservative Americans, who I believe in their heart of hearts will understand and agree that Barack Obama made them a better person because they know what they believe now. They know why they believe it. They studied the Constitution for the very first time in their life. They know the history of our country for the very first time in their life. They learn things. In the last 8 years, we learn things that nobody is teaching anymore. Real, true history of the country, good and bad. 8 years ago, I wasn't focused on the bad of the American people, of the American story. I didn't know that we had, a concentration camp of biblical proportions in the Civil War. I didn't know that we banned German-speaking people in World War I. I didn't know some of this stuff. I'm a better American because of it.
I think a lot of people would also look at themselves, if they were being honest, and think that the Barack Obama presidency made them a worse person. And that they did things that they probably wouldn't have accepted out of themselves beforehand.
Yes.
Which opens this up to a larger point, which is you're choosing that path.
Yes.
It's up to you to make best of that situation.
You can choose. My father used to say, life is about what you do, the choices you make around what happens to you. So you can choose to be, and I did in some ways, not consciously, but I joined in. In some regards, I stood my ground in others. We all did. And I chose to be a better man and see him in a positive light as opposed to a negative light on what I chose to do about it. Others chose just to, and it's amazing because if you go back, we should go back now that the election will be beyond us, no matter who wins, we have to go back to this speech that I gave at Restoring Unity, because in that I told you, soon we are going to be torn limb from limb. We are going to be pushed and pushed and pushed and told to hate each other. And we must not hate. We must not look for revenge. There's coming a time soon where you will want revenge. Don't do it. Well, it's here now. And so how do we choose? What do we choose?
And, we were told, and I think at the beginning of the Obama thing by friends who weren't as freaked out about him as we were, that no one man, not even the president, can bring down the United States of America. And we thought that Obama was so far to the left that, and at that time, there was also a Democrat majority in the House and Senate, that we thought they were going to be able to get enough done to accomplish that. Now, they did transform a lot of things.
Oh, my gosh. We have fundamentally transformed
our economy.
But I am more concerned with the fundamental transformation that happened in our own homes than happened in Washington, D.C.
Right. And we can't allow that to happen anymore. And I don't think that and so it's given me hope that neither one of these people, as bad as I think they are, can bring down the United States of America. And that's a pretty new.
Well, can I? It is a very
process
new
process for me.
It is. It's for all of us.
Yeah. I mean, one of my favorite books is The Rational Optimist. I love it. And I just recently started rereading it because I felt that way again, that awful, there's just no hope sort of way. And what the book goes through is how, you know, essentially it's, you know, from a libertarian perspective. But I mean, it's talking about essentially how free markets, free exchange of goods, services, ideas wind up overwhelming all of these negative things we always fear. There's always somebody predicting this incredible doom around the corner.
Well, I would have to say you require free markets to have that happen, but.
Exactly. And the point is, though, we're right. I mean, yeah. The point is, obviously, the perspective of it is,
yes,
I mean, this is explained well in the book, but I mean, it goes, you do need that. And of course, it's from a libertarian perspective and it's arguing for more of those things. And yes. It's talking about how when you have those things, you almost, no matter what you do, can't stop the world's circumstances from being better. That doesn't include necessarily morals, but overwhelmingly, that's been the case. I mean, we have less wars than we've had in the past. Things have actually gone. We have less crime. We've discussed that at great length. All these things that feel like they're going to turn wrong have, many of them have turned right. And it's in the moment, it's almost impossible to see that. But if you look at it over history, it's almost impossible not to see it. And so, that's always my hope, is that these things that we, human beings working together, whether they want to or not. I'm not saying I'm like this, hold hands, let's walk down the street and sing together. But just the ability to be able to freely work, trade, exchange ideas, social media, and ideas. I think these things hopefully will be able to push them, to push the better half of us through these really tough times that we do have. And again, I have no faith in the government. I'm a point of zero ability to see positives in that world right now. Where I see the positives is that the system that we've all talked about and loved on this show and in these circles for so long can actually overwhelm those things.
I agree. I could have stopped you about five times and told you how it was all going to fall apart, right. But I decided not to.
Good for you.
So I'm going to leave it at I agree.
Good for you. You're nice. Right. It can happen. It can be stopped.
No, somebody said to me yesterday, Glenn, there's a difference between prediction and warning. And he said, people always say, you're making a prediction. He said, you're not. You're issuing a warning. And that's true. A prediction is like mystical. Mm-hmm. The warning is, hey.
Prediction is Nostradamus.
Yes. And the warning is, hey, this is what these conditions could grow. They'll grow in these conditions. Now, that doesn't mean that it's going to, because something can always change that. For instance, I saw the collapse of the banking system and said, when Bear Stearns came down, this is it. It's coming down. And remember, right after Bear Stearns, everybody said, it's over. And I'm like, it's only just begun. And then we had Lehman Brothers collapse and AIG. And when those things collapsed, then it was done. However, I didn't see TARP. Conditions can change. Now, because TARP was only a Band-Aid, that's still coming. But there might be something out there. And now the Fed is saying, $4 trillion will be printed once we hit a next recession. Well, at some point that causes hyperinflation, but I don't know when. It's just they're warning signs. They're not a prediction. They're warning signs. And we can change it at any time. Now this, unpredictable events occur, but we will make it through. Okay, warning. Jobs are probably going to get tough. They're going to get tough. Times are going to come that will be tough. There's your warning. Now, what can you do to alleviate that in your own life? Well, we can argue about politics and policies and the Fed policies, or what we can do is prepare. And by having food supply, by having a year's worth of food, you give a family of four 3 solid months without ever having to go to the grocery store. And you can do it for $2.73 a day. a year's worth of food for one adult right now at 800-946-2325, 800-946-2325, or go to preparewithglenn.com. That's preparewithglenn.com. Do it right now.
Glenn Beck Program.
888-727-BACK.
Mercury.
The experts at Web.com want to build your business a successful website for free, just like we did for these current Web.com customers.
We've used and looked at other website designers, but there's nobody better than Web.com.
Web.com can build your website in as little as 7 days free. Plus, we'll promote it on all the major search engines like Google, Yahoo, and Bing. If after 30 days you're happy, we'll continue to provide promotion, hosting, support, and maintenance, all for one low monthly fee. If not, cancel and pay nothing.
If you're in business today and you don't have a web presence, you won't be taken seriously.
Call right now and you'll also get a free .com or .net domain name for your new website powered by VeriSign, the world's leading domain name provider.
Call 800-490-1099 or go to web.com/radio. That's 800-490-1099.
No upfront charge for site build, after which ongoing fees apply. Rights to site are relinquished when canceled. Domain included during active service, after which fees apply.
The Glenn Beck Program.
Pat just said the most amazing sentence to me that I think I've heard. I am more optimistic today than I have been
In a really long time.
And I want you to explain that.
Okay.
Because he's come to a realization in the last 3 days that I think a lot of us are. I came to it maybe 3 weeks to 3 months ago. It's good to know that I'm not alone. And you may not be alone in this either. We'll talk about that coming up in just a second. And what to watch for tonight.
The Glenn Beck Program. Mercury. Glenn Beck Program.
888-727-BECK. Tonight, beginning at 6 p.m. Eastern Time? Is that right?
7 Eastern.
7 Eastern.
All right.
Tonight, we begin our election coverage only on the Blaze TV, hosted by me and the rest of us. And we've got all the players from the Blaze coming in. And it's going to be very different election coverage. This is kind of like going through it together. Each in our own way. Tommy, I think, is going to be here, right? Is Tommy coming tonight?
I think everyone's going to be
around. And Tommy is not necessarily a subtle Trump supporter.
We're not on the same page.
No, we're not even in the same library.
No.
She's going to be joining us tonight, and we'll go through it together.
Wait a minute, you can't have a different opinion. You can't deal with a person who doesn't agree with you.
We're going to.
That's what an innovative way of
feeling. We're expecting that at least the networks are preparing for a long night tonight. I know that I'm on NBC News, not MSNBC, but NBC News with Tom Brokaw tonight at beginning at 10.
From Joe Albert. Tonight from Joe Albert. Glenn Beck from Joe Oliver tonight.
start at 10. I know I'm going to be on it, you know, in the 10 o'clock hour. And then they've kind of said, hey, and we'd like you to kind of hang with us until 2. So
A.M.?
2 a.m., yeah. So they're expecting a possibility of a long night.
You know you do a show in the morning.
Yeah, I don't think they care.
I don't think they care.
And I may not hang out. I may just do the 10, so I don't know.
They may just come to you and there's just an empty studio.
I don't know. I don't know. So
the last couple of elections have been called in the 11 p.m. Eastern hour for perspective.
Even Romney?
Yeah, Romney was
like that was over as soon as our coverage started.
They called Romney in the afternoon.
I know. Do you remember? Like 4:30, they're saying this looks bad.
It's over.
We're like, no, it can't. No, what?
It's over. We were crying.
And as soon as our election coverage, started, it was over.
Well, I mean, well, tonight it could be over. I mean, he loses Florida. By the way, Leon Wolf is our new editor in chief at TheBlaze.com. He wrote his predictions, if you will, what he is looking for tonight, what he thinks is going to happen on TheBlaze.com, and we want to talk to him a little bit about that. But if this ends, I mean, this could end with Florida tonight.
Well, I think yeah, probably the earliest it will end was North Carolina because, of course, Florida has got the panhandle in Central Time.
Yes.
So they'll be an hour behind, at least potentially, North Carolina. It all depends upon how fast they count votes and how big the margins are.
North Carolina, the inside scoop today on the internal polling is that North Carolina is too close to call. New Hampshire is also too close to call. That Michigan is in play. But Florida looks...
These are all really good things for Trump.
Yeah, I know. But Florida, well...
Florida's... None.
Florida looks like it's going to go to Hillary tonight.
This is Trump's problem, of course, is that he has no margin of error. If he loses one of these close states, he's totally...
If he wins Florida and New Hampshire
and Michigan wins.
Again, Michigan. I mean, what are they? I mean, I think 538 has that at about 20% chance of happening.
As long as
he wins Michigan,
Ohio,
apparently
Nevada.
It is in
serious
from some insiders who, you know this. From the internal polling, this is not outside polling, this is internal polling, it shows that Michigan is in play today.
Mm. I think what happens with states like that, though, is if Trump wins Michigan, it's happening in a Trump environment. So it's not like he just picks off Michigan and then loses, you know, Florida and Iowa.
Right.
Like, if he wins Michigan, he's doing so well that he's winning all of these swing states anyway, and then, of course, he wins the election.
Yeah.
And that's the same theory with Hillary. Like, if she's able to pull off Florida and North Carolina, it's happening in a Hillary-friendly environment, so the rest of the states are going to wind up, you know, falling into line. That's usually because these states move together. You know, if they don't move completely independently, they typically will move together. And if it comes out, if we're in a positive Hillary environment, you're going to know that pretty early on.
What are you thinking, Leon?
I'm considerably more bearish than on Trump's chances.
This is internal polling, so I would expect.
Right.
I mean, anything that I would
Trump
get, but
were,
I, you
right.
know.
They were saying yesterday that they considered Michigan to be their best shot.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that they're going to lose North Carolina, I think, by a larger margin than people expect.
I think they're going to lose.
I think they will. I think
it's over then.
I think what's happening to North Carolina is exactly what happened to Virginia, and it stunned the Virginia GOP how fast it happened. I think a lot of people in the Virginia GOP expected, you know, we're getting this influx of D.C. people. It's going to turn the state purple, blue. I think that they were predicting that it would more happen in 2016 instead of 2008, you know, when it did happen. I think the same thing is happening to North Carolina. If you look at the signs that are bad for Donald Trump, it is that the reason that Mitt Romney was able to pull out a close victory in North Carolina in 2012 is that he won with white college-educated voters in Mecklenburg, suburban Charlotte, by 21 points. Polls show now Hillary Clinton is 50-50 with Trump on those voters. Mm-hmm. Those voters are the growth demographic in North Carolina, and I think that you're going to see that this is going to be the beginning of North Carolina becoming a more reliably blue/purple state like Virginia is now.
How do you get to 270 without North Carolina?
You don't. I mean,
it can't be done.
Yeah. I will tell you that this is my greatest fear. I talked about this while I was at Fox, and nobody will remember it, but I talked about it when I was at Fox, that typically what happens is after somebody like Barack Obama, where people feel disenfranchised and nobody's listening to them, you will have somebody who will step in, who will be a demagogue, somebody that will take you to places you've never been before because they say, I will fix it. If that person doesn't win, the one after will be even worse. Now, I can't imagine that, but if history, we use history as our guide, the world is not going to stay static. So the world's not going to look like it does in 2016. And I don't see any indication of it getting more healthy in the next 4 years. You probably will have serious economic unrest, serious civil unrest, more divisions between left and right, not fewer, and more anger on left and right. When that happens, you have a chance next time to get somebody completely, completely unreasonable. Our hard work begins tomorrow, not today.
And I'll tell you, one of the things that I'm at least somewhat hopeful for in the event that Clinton wins, which is what I think is potentially going to happen, is, you know, I knew a lot of people and have met a lot of people since that time who were involved in the Clinton administration. And sure, the Clintons have always been surrounded by some of these people, like, you know, your Sidney Blumenthal's and your can't remember the guy who stuffed the papers down his pants. I can't remember his name.
Oh, yeah.
Right
Sandy
now.
Burglar.
Sandy, yeah, Sandy Berger. And those, the Landy Davis, Burglar. Those people who don't provide much value other than telling the Clintons what they want to hear. But they also, I think, and especially in the first half of his administration, were staffed with a lot of people who were technically competent, very good at their jobs type people. Yes. And I think that
unlike
at least...
this administration.
Correct. So as much as a lot of people think, my gosh, I would rather have Obama than Clinton just because he's a more likable person, I think that the Clintons, at least in the early part of their first term, demonstrated an ability to hire good people, or at least competent people, which
And triangulate. I don't know she will do that.
Right.
But he did that. He triangulated. If she wins tonight and she's smart, what she will do tonight is try to bring the country together and start to triangulate immediately.
She's paid some lip service to that.
I know.
She's never been the kind of person to actually do that.
The Democrats used the Constitution more than the Republicans did.
I know.
The Democrats used our positions more than we did. We abandoned our post. What's really remarkable is in the postmortem, should Donald Trump lose, in the postmortem, will anyone bring up the fact that he was on Fox and Friends right after the Romney loss, and he said, if the next GOP candidate doesn't reach out and embrace Hispanics and go for comprehensive reform, it will be the last time a candidate for the GOP is taken seriously. Here it is.
And it is a top priority, and the Republicans ought to take the lead. I mean, they have to get smart. They cannot have what happened to them with immigration and other issues sabotage their elections. I mean, you look at what's going on, and frankly, the Republicans should take the lead on immigration. So it is, and again, the word he used was a top priority, because I'm sure jobs and, you know, there are lots of top priorities, frankly,
right.
But and jobs would be at the top of the list also. But immigration is very important, and the Republicans have to get involved, and they have to, otherwise they're never going to win another election. Okay. Unless they do something.
All right. So now what he was talking about there, you have to remember his mindset in 2012 was Mitt Romney was too angry and was too strong on the border. Turned off the Hispanics. And so you'll never win another election if you turn off the Hispanics. If you look
How ironic is that?
Oh, I know. If you look at the GOP autopsy, it said the same thing. It said we have to reach out to the Hispanics. We have to reach out to the youth. We have to do everything opposite of what we're doing right now, quite honestly. It will be interesting to see where we head now, because I don't think, do you think Donald Trump is going away?
No. I mean, he's going to kind of stick around and through whatever mechanism it is, whether it's his own TV channel or whatever, he's got this group of 15 million people or so that he's going to point at his enemies, I think, and say, you know, go get him for the next however long it takes.
And I think when you talk about bringing them together, bringing people together, and again, we're talking right now as if Clinton wins this election, which she, you know, is the favorite. But she's gone through this entire campaign largely, without exception, making the point of it's not that Republicans are evil. It's that Donald Trump isn't even Republican, and that she's been trying to suck over Republican voters who are like, I'm in the middle kind of, and I just can't stand Donald Trump because he's offensive. He says offensive things, and he, you know, he's on the bus talking, you know, to Billy Bush in that way. And I just, I can't deal with it. And I'm not saying it's authentic, but they may see a legitimate opportunity to lock in a large portion of the centralized sort of like independent voter who just is so infuriated that Donald Trump was the nominee that they never come back.
She did try to do that, but it was after doing this.
I know how to find common ground.
You've all made a few people upset over your political careers. Which enemy are you most proud of?
Probably the Republicans.
Right.
You know?
But so, and that's not what she did in the campaign.
No.
Well, and, yeah,
well, although that was in the debate.
Yeah, right. But I mean, I'm saying like her, that was a moment in which she fell down from
yeah.
it, right?
Yeah.
Like, but generally speaking, I'm not saying it was authentic at all, but that's what she tried to do.
You know, I think if you look at just the convention, I think it started there. And I went to the Republican convention and I sat there for Donald Trump's speech. Which alarming to me, quite frankly, the tone of it, you know, law and order. I mean, it's just very, it was creepy almost. And then you watched Hillary Clinton's speech, and it wasn't tremendously effective because she's bad at giving speeches, and you don't believe the things that she says. But it sounded a lot like an appeal to Reagan type voters. I believe in America. Our best days are ahead of us. You know, we can
come
together.
The whole thing has been, when she said a couple of days ago, I am so tired. No, Barack Obama said this. I am so tired of people tearing down our great nation. What?
Yeah.
What? Yeah. They have taken our playbook because we left it on the bench. Back in a minute. Now this. Easier to have a great day if you had a great night's sleep. If you'd like to sleep better, get a Casper mattress. Get the best sleep you've ever had. I have a Casper mattress. Pat has a Casper mattress. Thousands of our listeners have Casper mattresses, and they are getting a great night's sleep. And you can try it in your own home for 100 nights. It was invented with two high-tech foams that guarantee that you sleep cool and comfortable with all the support that you need. Time magazine named it one of the best inventions of 2015, and it ships for free. Now, here's the deal. They don't have a showroom. This is why you save. You'll pay less for this mattress than you've paid for any mattress since you were in college. A king size bed is, I think, just under $1,000. So the reason why they can do this is they've cut out the middleman. They don't have the showrooms. They don't have anything else. They ship it directly to you. But instead of trying it out in a showroom, you try it out in your bed. If you don't like it, you return it. They come and they pick it up and they give you a check, full amount, not a penny lost. Terms and conditions do apply, but try it out for 100 nights in your own home. Go to Casper.com. The offer code is Becky at $50 off the purchase of your mattress. It's Casper.com. Offer code Beck.
You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
Mercury. Listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
On the Blaze. Tonight, the election. Only on the Blaze TV. We're all going to be here as long as it lasts or as long as we can stand it. So join us only on the Blaze TV. It'll be great to watch this, especially if you watch it on the iPad. You watch it on TV, but if you watch it on the computer or the iPad, keep it going while you're watching, you know, whatever. We'll have all the election results, et cetera, but... And the entire Blaze team will be here, so you don't want to miss it.
It's my belief that Donald Trump is going to try to make himself the iguana.
The what?
the greatest iguana in the world. The video is on
iguana
the
in the world.
If you have not seen this video, you have to see it.
What is the...
This iguana, and it apparently is a hatchling, like a baby iguana, escapes from almost literally a million snakes. And it's hilarious because if you've ever watched an iguana run... It's yeah. like the funniest thing, right, and he yeah. is just running like away from this massive. And at one point, they like get him, and they have him tangled up. You go, oh man, that iguana's dead. That's so sad. And he somehow squeals out from that, climbs a mountain, and gets away from all these snakes.
It's one of the most unbelievable videos I've ever seen.
Yeah.
And I think it's a good analogy for Trump's camp. I'm surprised he keeps saying the Brexit thing. He should start saying the iguana.
Here it is. Here it is. Let's see. Oh my gosh, he's tangled in snakes.
He's completely tangled in like six snakes and somehow escapes and still, gets away.
Yeah, you missed like the first minute yeah. of
Look at that, they're just going
he's
after
climbing, him. The snakes are coming. He kicks the snakes away from him.
It really is.
The baby that boy. Is.
He just yeah. got back to his mom. He's been alive about a week and he yeah. got away from a million snakes. What amazes me about the video is it starts off and the narrator, David Attenborough, explains, he's like, The snakes can't see well, but they know to detect motion, so the iguana has to stay perfectly still. And it does. Like, that's how the video starts. He's staying stone still, and all these snakes are kind of creeping around. And you're like, how does the iguana know to do
this
that?
This is quite honestly exactly what happened. When Comey came out, all he had to do to avoid the snakes was stand perfectly still.
That's right.
Make no move, and you escape the snakes.
Yeah. I just wonder how one-week-old iguana knows the snakes can't see me if I don't move.
Tonight, don't miss it. Only on the Blaze TV. You can check it out, blaze.com/TV. Our coverage begins at 7 Eastern, 6 Central.
Glenn Beck.
Merck.